It is 7 minutes after the hour. Mike Ashcraft is the senior pastor at Port City Community Church in North Carolina. He loves to reach people and help them with their walk with God. So I'm already a fan of Mike. I already like him. So for nearly a decade, he has had this idea to get people to abandon their resolutions, just really and focus on one word to be their focus for an entire year. And Mike thinks of himself as just a regular guy, which I like him even more. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, Bill, thank you so much for having me. It's a real honor to be on with you guys.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Now, your idea of having just one word to focus on, this can be a kind of a game changer for people, can it?
It really has. And over the last, and you mentioned decade, you know, the stories are remarkable of how pervasive it really is, because it just allows us to see so much more than just whether or not we're doing something about, you know, a promise we made to ourselves, whether it's to be in better shape or more organized or something like that. It really, it's just pervasive into so many areas of our life that we don't even really suspect or understand when we start off on the journey.
Mm-hmm. So, Mike, I know you've written a book called My One Word, Change Your Life with Just One Word. How do we get started? How do we go about choosing our word for the year?
So it's real simple. The one mistake, I'll start that way, that people make is they sort of have a knee-jerk reaction. They hear about it and go, oh, my word is, and they just pick it. And I'm a big believer in the process. It's why, you know, you mentioned our mission is to reach people and help them walk with God. The process of formation, what God promises to do in our life, requires every moment, every day, and he's always doing things and working things toward his good in our lives. And so instead of just picking what I recommend is really embracing the process, taking 2 to 3 weeks. You know, the beautiful thing about reading a book is it slows everything down. It's not tweets or blog posts. It really requires some slowing down of our thinking and our minds, getting on a journal, writing some things down. And what I really, you know, ask people to do is, you know, start, instead of starting with all the things that you wish you hadn't have done last year,
mm-hmm.
start with the idea that you have 12 months to become somebody, to become someone whom God has created, whom God intends to be here and to be for. And what kind of person would you like to become? And we start with vision. We begin to describe that. And once you start getting yourself out of the habit of trying to change because you're sick of the way you have been or what you've done, it starts to get our minds in the direction of what is it that God has created us to be. And it's just it's a vision thing. And it's a really powerful exercise that most people don't give themselves permission or credit to think in that direction.
Yeah. Mike, this is great material, and my only concern right now I have is our connection's a little bad on your end. Are you on a headset?
Oh, I am not, but
okay.
I can give you a landline if that'll help.
Yeah, that would be good. We're going to take a little break and reconnect with you because the connection's not great, and I want all of our listeners to hear all this good stuff. Mike Ashcraft is my guest, and we'll take a short break and be right back with more in just a minute. We are back, and Mike Ashcraft is my guest. We're talking about having my one word, change your life with just one word. And he's been sort of on a campaign to help people draw closer in their walk with the Lord and doing it by picking one word and focusing on it. Mike, can you start off by explaining unresolutions?
Unresolutions. Well, it's kind of the opposite of resolutions. Instead of making promises to ourselves about things that we will or will not do, we start with a view, a lens through which to see our entire life. And so it's the actual opposite of making a promise. And that's the whole point of it. It allows us to, you know, if a promise, you make a promise to yourself, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to read my Bible, all good things. And then as soon as we don't do it, we either, you know, succeed or fail. And as soon as we don't do it, we fail. And what most people tend to do is when they fail at something, they start to believe, well, I'm really not cut out for that. And so what My One Word does is it sort of takes that pressure off and said it just provides you with a way to see your life and what God is doing and longs to do in your life. And that way
our successes or our failures become a part of the process by which God uses to form us. It's not an excuse, but rather it's a way to see that even some of the most difficult things that we go through, God still has this unbelievably gracious capacity to cause them to work for his good. And I've seen that in my own life.
Can you share some examples of words maybe you've used throughout the years?
Sure. I put them all on my list, on my journal every year. So I've got all 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 of them. This is my 13th word. A couple of them, you know, some of them were, you know, the first word I picked was finish. And what it really had to do with, it began as sort of a productivity thing to realize that I had a lot of loose ends. I wasn't completing some of my tasks. I wasn't finishing days well. And I talk about this in the book, but as it went from just finishing tasks and making sure I finished books that I had started to read, or, you know, really tried to work on bringing finishes to my messages and things like that, I realized that oftentimes I'd be in a conversation with someone and something else would pop up. I'd go from one thing to the next, and I never really finished those conversations or finished paying attention to a particular person because someone else was in line or someone else was, you know, needed my attention. And that really quickly became about my own, even finishing my days, how I came to my house and how I treated my children and my wife. And it allowed me to begin to see how you know, looking through the lens of finish, what does it look like to finish a day? Does it look like just racing your kids to bed so they'll get out of your hair and so you can sit on the couch and veg out? Is that really a good finish that, you know, to a day? And I realized that it wasn't, and I actually had a say in how I finished my day. So I created a little discipline to finish my days that year. One year my word was invest. One year my word was shape. Recognizing that I had the capacity to bring shape to some ideas and things that I had been personally struggling with, some insecurities and things. And so words that just helped me see what God was calling me to do, how he wanted to use me. And it took a lot of time just to bring, you know, increased clarity to those areas of my life.
So you've got a great list. I mean, that first word just sort of, I was stuck on finish because I would think that's the greatest word for just about everybody listening because, you know, I think it's something that we all have unfinished business. We all have things that we need to, you know, get done and complete. And, you know, the thought of an unfinished task is exhausting. It's just you can give yourself a lot of energy by just finishing it, can't you?
Absolutely. And, and it becomes something that's doable. And that to me is the important thing. You know, most people when they're especially when they're dealing with their spiritual life, you know, as a pastor, you know, if you ask people about their spiritual life, they'll typically answer in a negative fashion. You know, how's your prayer life? Well, I don't pray enough. How's your quiet time? I don't do it enough. I don't read my Bible enough. It's always, you know, responded to with sort of a I don't do enough, which is really the exact opposite of the gospel, right? That to me is what this is about. It's about saying, you know, it's not about whether you've done enough or not enough. It's about looking at something and deciding, what am I going to do about this right now? Regardless of what you did before, regardless of what you didn't do last year, what am I going to do about it today? You know, I put my word in front of me every day in my office, on my mirror, on my dashboard, in my car. I see it on my planner. You know, some people put it on their phones. And every, like this year, my word I've just chosen is behold. And there's some specific reasons, but every day when I look at this, or you know, I'm thinking, what are my eyes set on? What am I seeing? What am I responding to based on what I'm seeing? And it's that conversation in your head that just reminds you that everything that I look at and do has an effect on my mind and my heart, and most importantly, am I responding to my view of God and what he has called me to do and who he is in my life?
All right, Mike Ashcraft is my guest. We'll take a little break. When we come back, we're going to continue this discussion on choosing a word, having one word that you're going to have as sort of your marching orders throughout the year that you're going to have in the front of your mind throughout your day. It's going to be on a card in your car. It's going to be on your shaving mirror. It's going to be everywhere. And you're going to see what happens 1 year later. We'll take a short break and be back with Mike in just a minute. Say hello to Mike Ashcraft. He's my guest. He's the senior pastor at Port City Community Church. in North Carolina. And he's written a book that is about one word. It's called My One Word, Change Your Life with Just One Word. And he's now in his 13th year of having a word that sort of helps shape his year and to keep focused on that one word. And Mike, as you think of the 13 years you've been doing this, what 1 year jumps off the page more than others?
Oh, man, there's been a few that were unusually hard that probably jump off the page. That, you know, I mentioned the word shape, mm-hmm. Which was really about a lot of our sort of mission and organizational, a lot of things that just really challenged my leadership. One of the ones I had was regard, which was just a real personal struggle with some things, with some doubts, with some insecurities that really were important for God to, I think, to forge in me. So different ones. The beautiful thing now as you get into it multiple years is you begin to see an arc. You begin to determine or discern the narrative of what God has been doing in my life over the years. So whereas I've always kept the journal, and so I look back and I can see where God's been doing different struggles with people, struggle with character issues, struggle with all sorts of things that we go through as humans, places where I've grown tremendously. And so I track that in my journals, but when I look at my words, you kind of get a bigger, almost like the chapters in a book. You kind of see what happened during that year, and I can remember certain things that were very important. The year with my word, I had one of my words in 2016 was yoke. So I have a big yoke in my office, a big wooden yoke that someone gave me. And it was really about partnership. When we read this idea that Jesus says, you know, take my yoke upon you, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, he talks about the way we learn from him isn't about you know, applying his teaching. The way he invited us to learn from him was to walk with him, to partner with him, and he doesn't take his yoke and drop it on our necks. He shares it with us. So that was a very freeing year for me to realize that I'm not – you know, God's not placed this burden on me and then said, go, you know, muster up the strength to do it. He's like basically said, my son is walking and sharing, carrying this load, you know, with you. And so it's just a lot of things like that give you, you know, so when you're dealing with issues or particular struggles, whether it's with a person or organizationally or in a relationship that's important to you, you know, it just gave me a lens through which to realize that, okay, I'm yoked to Jesus in this, and he's carrying as much of this load as I am. You know, his burden is, or his yoke is easy. And it just gives you a little bit of perspective as you enter into things that we deal with or have to deal with anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mike, are we trying to pick a word that is going to help us become more of the person we want to be?
Yes. It's and the beautiful thing about it is people, most of the time, they're afraid to pick the wrong word. You know, do I pick love or do I pick patience? You know, well, if you pick patience, the odds are you're probably going to become more loving. If you pick love, you're probably going to become more patient. So we have to kind of, and that's really the challenge of it, is not getting hung up on, you know, did I pick the exact right word? You know, what we're trusting is, you know, it's the promise that God gives us that he is faithful to complete the work that he's begun. And all we're doing is setting a lens, you know, in front of us to help us see that and notice that. I think that, you know, part of the, you know, at least my assumption is that a lot of the reason people don't see God's work in their life isn't because he's not working. It's because we don't have a mechanism to pay attention to it.
Yeah,
so
good point.
What we do is we set up and say, this is the kind of person that I want to become. You know, it was so funny when I was wrestling my word this year, you know, I was sitting on the couch with my daughter. She's 17, a senior in high school, and we talk about our words a lot in our house and such. And she said, I was like, I'm really having trouble picking my word this year. I said, it's kind of blurry. And she sat down in this real serious voice. She says, Dad, what kind of person do you want to become in 2019? You know, And that's exactly the framing question. And what I wanted to become was the kind of person who sees. That was the picture in my head. I want to be someone who sees God more clearly, sees his work more clearly. And so, it led to me, I'm not just vision or something like that, but rather this word, behold. And so when you think about what kind of person you want to become, some people need to become more truthful or more – and not more truthful, but just truthful in the sense that they don't shade or hide or run from truth, or that they want to, you know, have a stronger sense of integrity or more sense of tenderness toward people. And when you start to get those kind of descriptions, you can recognize both things that you might struggle with that you really need help with, or just places where – you know, you feel like you're going to contribute more to the people around you. And what happens is both things happen all the time. What happens in you always affects what happens, you know, in your interactions with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're looking to do things for other people, it's always going to affect what's happening in you. So it's always both of those things. And it's not a promise to do one thing or the other. It usually ends up as both.
Mm-hmm. Is it safe to say, Mike, that that you can also pray that God would bring a word to you?
Absolutely. I've had, you know, some people tell me, they say, you know, Mike, I was sitting in a service or listening to a song, and you know, God gave me my word.
Okay.
You know, that's totally fine. I don't make it as though it's not a promise. It's not something that God has said, oh, my word is abundance, and so God's going to lavish, you know,
right,
abundance on me. It's not a projection of our will on His. It becomes a lens to help us. You know, I had in fact, one of my dear friends, you know, the last year of her life, she was struggling with cancer, and the last year of her life on earth was finished. And one of them, in fact, I've had another friend that had the same thing. Her word was healing, and she wasn't proclaiming or projecting on God. She was saying God promises His healing either here or in eternity. And she was able to lead a lot of her friends in that journey with her as she, you know, left this earth and went to be with Jesus. And but her pledge and her promise was that Jesus has healed. And, you know, those are really powerful moments for people to have to wrestle and process and watch people go through. And it becomes a really powerful tool for people to see, you know, not what we hope, you know, God's will might be for us, but what He's actually doing in our lives. That's a really, I think, important distinction.
Mm-hmm. Got a nice email from a listener named Mary. She said, I love this. She said, I've been doing this for some years, and her last year her word was enough. Enough things, enough food, enough busyness. Then immediately the words to the hymn, it is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me, popped into her head. She filters everything through that word. It's a pretty strong image.
Yeah, and it's so good because everybody can do that. You know, everybody, and it's something that God brings to mind, whether it's a hymn or a song or a verse. You know, I always recommend that people pick a verse that they kind of use to go along with it. It's something I memorized. one year my word was inspire,
mm-hmm.
and I used Romans chapter 6, verse 17, and what it talks about is that we are no longer slaves to sin, but that our hearts have been captured. Our hearts have become captured. We have become given our allegiance to this teaching that has captured our hearts. And so this idea of inspiring wasn't just about, you know, me having inspiring messages for people or inspiring people to walk with God. It really became about what inspires me.
Mm-hmm.
What I realized in that, there's a big difference. You know, every year at the end, I try to come up with a tweetable phrase, and it was that there's a difference between that which catches our eye and that which captures our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that paraphrase helped me.
Yeah. If you want to go and download a free chapter in Mike's book, you can go to myoneword.org. Myoneword.org. Mike Ashcroft has been my guest. Mike, thanks for coming on the show. It's great having you.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much. Mike Ashcroft, again, has been my guest. Myoneword.org is the place to go and download a chapter and learn more about him. We'll take a short break and be right back in just a minute.